This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're breaking it down on the Monday Night Meltdown, and we're trying to figure out which game is which right now. It's either Slapshot. I think it was a Slapshot, or it was Blades of Steel. No, it wasn't Blades of Steel. That's too early. Is it called ice? No, it wasn't ice hockey. No. All right. You know what? I think it was Slapshot. I think it was Slapshot. It was like the sister game of NBA Jam. Like it really was. Like it was like the NHL. Like he's on fire. Like the puck would heat up. It was an exact copy of NBA Jam. There's a fascinating story behind NBA Jam, actually. It's crazy, that game. Like, how much money it made. Like, basically, they couldn't, like, they it would fill up with quarters, man. Like, man, arcades were great. Arcades were great. I spent a lot of time at arcades growing up. Like, in our era, that was the place to be. A lot of years in arcades. Even as I got a little bit older, you know, I graduated into like going to arcades and drinking at arcades. Like, you know, from the kid arcades to like the, you know what? They got booze at the arcade now. You know, video games kind of ruin that stuff, right? They ruin the arcade experience. But arcades used to rock. That was the place. That was also the place to get things too. Right? That was the place to get things as well. The arcade. The arcade was the place to be. So tonight, Major League Baseball, we took it on the chin. We're like Kruger. Really took it on the chin here tonight. Boston Red Sox drilled the Toronto Blue Jays, man. 13-4. Craig Ballard will join us in level 3. We'll talk some Blue Jays baseball. George Kurtz will join us in a couple of minutes. We'll talk some Yankees. So we got a lot of American League East talk. Tonight there's that East Coast bias. But we're also going to talk Seattle Kraken hockey. And NFL football, Cowboys football, Bills football, Cowboys football, NFL football. So we're gonna mix it up in this hour. We've got everything coming up with George Kurtz. But yeah, big win for the Red Sox. And listen, the Blue Jays are a good team. And the Blue Jays are still 500 right now. They're in the mix for the wild card, but there's not a lot of margin for error for the Blue Jays. And I talked about this last night. I brought it up on Game Time Decisions, and I stand by this take, is that these games are really big right now for teams that are on the cusp, all right? The trade deadline is 2 weeks away, now less than 2 weeks away, July 30th. What are we now, the 19th, 20th, however you want to call it? So you don't want to get cold now and suddenly, you know what, you're like, you know, you're out of it and the ownership's like, why are we going to do this? We're not coming back, right? You want to win games now. And the Blue Jays have a lot of big games coming up. The Red Sox beat them down 13-4. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We hope you bet the overs tonight on the diamond. Oh, my God. And you know what? I'm kicking myself because if you're tuning into in-game live tonight, we were odds during the Mets and the Reds game. And it was 7-3 for the Reds, and the Mets were getting 3.5. I said, man, the Mets are getting 3.5 runs here. You know this is going to be a crazy game. And lo and behold, I didn't put the play in. It started the line move right away. I was losing the games that I had currently at the time. But the Mets end up winning 15-11 against Cincinnati. So, like, you know, Cincinnati's a classic example of a team that's sort of in the mix. But if they stumble over the next week and a half, why would ownership want to do anything? Shohei Ohtani was on the hill here this evening, but it was the Oakland Athletics who get the win. 4-1 final score. Oakland in the wild card mix. They're also in a division mix as well. Pittsburgh and Arizona, nobody cares. Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants are playing a key series. And it's a big statement. It's a big statement series for the San Francisco Giants. They played 9 times coming into tonight, and the Dodgers had won 6 of them. So San Francisco needs to send a message that, you know what, you're not going to beat us every time we play. The Nationals went off tonight. Man, overs tonight. 13-4 Red Sox over the Blue Jays. 17 runs put up on the board. We talked about the Met game. Absolutely insanity. 15-11, 26 runs put up on the board. The Washington Nationals put up 18 runs tonight. See, they went overboard with the. So everyone, like, it went from nobody can hit to, is this what you want? Is this what you want? You want 18? What? You want all these runs, really? Like, you got to find a balance with baseball. That's your problem. I had the under in the Tiger game. It was looking great all night. And then the Tigers put a four. Like, we got football scores tonight. 14-0. Tigers beat the Rangers tonight. Cardinals rolled the Cubs. That game was high scoring. They got to 11 runs. The Astros and the Indians actually did stay under. 4-3 Astros. I think the Astros are a dangerous team moving forward right now, and especially with the trade deadline coming up. And I understand that Mattress Mac guy put down a lot of money. Why not, right? He seems to win a lot. I still believe in the Dodgers. I still do. But you look at Boston and you look at San Francisco, two teams that nobody expected this from. They're still getting it done. They're still doing it. And here we are right now in mid-July. It gets realer as we go on. August is kind of real. And then the first week of September, it gets real, real. The real deal. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
$1 million, but much more on the boardroom. Sports Professor Rick Haro, Daily Numbers Game.
Level two.
Hey, Brian, care to place a wager?
Tomorrow night.
Celebrity boxing. I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Thank you, Freddy. Betting Freddy, level two. I am Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 204. This is Sports Rage. Craig Ballard will join us. We've known Craig a long time. Does a great job daily. He works hard on the Blue Jays. Big, big Blue Jay fan, but he watches baseball. He's a baseball junkie. And he's come on the show in past years, with us. And we'll talk some American League East baseball, some Blue Jays baseball. They got pasted tonight by the Boston Red Sox. We'll talk some American League East baseball with George Kurtz, Sports Grid's very own, who happens to be a Yankee fan. Big homer steps up and in. George Kurtz, what's going on, Kurtz?
Well, as a Yankee fan, I should probably be applying to the Yankees to see if they need an outfielder. Lord knows that none of those guys can stay healthy. That outfield they were fielding over the weekend against the Red Sox. I mean, I can't even pronounce these names. Lamare, the other guy who tore his ACL, I don't even know what his last name is.
Did Lamare hit a home run?
He hit a home run, though. He did last night. He knocked the field shot, yeah.
Yeah, so the kid hit a home run. But no, you're right. So listen, the trade deadline's on July 30th. What do you expect the Steinbrenners to do? We know what George would have done, but what are Hank and Hal going to do?
Well, I mean, they play Boston four more times this week, and they play Tampa Bay a three-game series next week before the deadline. I think those seven games will tell you. If they go 2-5 and they end up being 10 games behind Boston, I don't think they're doing much or anything. You're not going to catch up 10 games. I think the Yankees are going to have to eat it. I mean, who are you hoping for? That's the other problem here. The Yankee fans want them to sign Starling Marte. He's going to cost a small fortune to get from the Marlins. You're not going to re-sign him because whether you like Hicks or not, he's signed for the next 5 years. He's already a center fielder. So it's going to be very difficult for the Yankees to get much of anybody. Pitching's going to cost a small fortune. Plus, the everybody in the National League West, they all want pitching. You have to outbid those teams. I think the Yankees might make some small moves just to stay in it. But if they were to, let's say they implode, you can make a much better argument they should be trading away some guys.
Yeah, but it's interesting that you say that. But I don't, you know what? We care about your East Coast bias, but you're not a homer, actually, in the sense that, let's be real, the Yankees aren't winning the World Series this year, George, right? I think we know
this. I don't think they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So I get it, but that's the whole thing. And what's the farm system look like? What's the prospect look like? Do you guys have prospects that you can trade for other teams, or are you better off trying to accumulate prospects from other teams right now? But the Yankees being sellers is something that's unheard of, Kurtz.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. If you're a Yankee fan and you're not older than 30, you don't know what not making the playoffs is. Think about it. That's all you've done is made the playoffs since 95, 94. They would have made it in 94 as well. That you don't know what not making the playoffs is all about here. So you're absolutely right. Yankee fans wouldn't understand it of that age. And the Yankees don't have a lot to sell, by the way. They really don't. Yeah. You asked about their farm system. Overall, it's an average farm system, but the problem for the Yankees is that, and we're seeing it this year, by the way, this is why they can't stay in this with all the injuries. All of their good prospects are single A ball. They're years away, 2 to 3 years away minimum, and that's the problem for the Yankees. They don't have any high-end prospects anybody's dying for that's ready to play next year. They don't have that.
George Kurtz kicking it with us. George, you wearing a chain or something? It's clicking against the mic.
Oh, that's probably something. Me. I do wear a Yankee chain at that, and another charm I wear.
Yeah, can you take that? I'm like, God, I have good ears, eh, Matthias? See, I'm like, you're wearing a chain or something?
You won't hear it anymore.
It's always something with you, Kurtz. It's unbelievable, man.
It's crazy. Good ears, man. Even I wasn't hearing that.
Yeah, I got good ears. I've been doing this a long time. I hear everything. I know everything, Kurtz. Come on. All right, so you do sound good, but I was like, what the hell is that clinging? What the hell is that clinging?
See, you're talking to the Yankees. My Yankee charm was clinging, trying to talk to you.
Yankee? Wait, you want a Yankee chain?
Yeah, it's a silver chain with the Yankee emblem on it. Somebody got it for me. I kind of like it.
Is it nice silver? Is it real silver? Or is it like...
No, like it's not real silver. No way.
No, so it's just one of those novelty things.
Yes, yeah.
George Kurtz.
Yeah, nobody Kurtz. Mugged me, okay? It's not real.
Come on, Kurtz is killing me here. All right, so, I don't know. Matthew Finn turning in. Said he heard the chain. See, but it's the type of quality content control you got to go through, Matthias. Matthias doesn't even have the ears I do, though. Like, I could be a detective. You know what I mean? Like, I hear everything. People think, like, you'd figure I'd be deaf since I'm a talk show host and I yell. And I'm in a metal band. And I even worked at metal shows, too. Like, you figure I'd be deaf, but no, I'm a very depth perspective, perceptive, Kurtz. I hear everything. Great hearing. I hear stuff that's going on. Like, I'm like a satellite. I can hear stuff in space. I swear to God, man, it is true. Sometimes I'll hear a noise on my balcony and stuff, and I'll look, and I'm like, where's that coming from? And it's like from 3 blocks away. I can see like in the distance. I'm like, oh, it's 2 drunk guys like 3 blocks away. And it's like, damn. Like I said, I'm like NASA. I don't need a satellite. All right, so Kurtz said. Also, Kurtz has the most sensitive damn microphone in the history of the world. Like we hear you clicking even, Kurtz. Like we hear everything. You could spy, like you're like Cam. You could spy on your neighbors, Kurtz, if you wanted to. That's how powerful your mics are. Just put it in your backyard and see if they're talking smack about you. Maybe they hate you and they're talking about you.
Could be. I'm a pretty good neighbor. I leave my neighbors alone, man. What's the old saying about your neighbors? You know, like a good neighbor, stay over there and all that sort of stuff. So
well, you don't talk. You mind your own business. No.
I got my one neighbor. My wife comments on it. Is COVID crazy? She still wears a mask. Outside, she wears a mask, and she actually yelled. I felt like I was back in school again. This is a true story. But I'm walking the dog, and they were out in the driveway having a little barbecue, and I came over to say hello, be a nice guy. And I say hello, da 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 da. When I get back, my wife goes, "Oh, they complained. She complained about you. You were too close." I'm like, are you kidding me? The dog was on a leash, so I was never in front of the dog. So I was at least 5-10 feet away the whole time. But she's COVID crazy. So that was it. I thought, that's it. I'm done. I'm staying on my property. I'm leaving everybody alone. I've had it.
You're not saying hello. She complained. Nope. What? She called your wife?
She actually called like the principal calling. Or, you know, when you were younger and another parent calls your parent on you. That's what I felt like. Because my wife's telling me, oh, yeah, she said you were too close. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I actually felt like I was a little kid again being told on.
I just got my second vaccine. I'm taking it pretty well. The first one was worse for me, actually. I don't know. We'll see if it kicks in, but I seem to be all right. But, yeah, now I'm double vaxxed and stuff, so I can pretty much drop the mask stuff, right? That's the sacrifice of getting vaccinated. You don't have to wear a mask. Right? Like that's
I haven't worn it unless it's required. I don't even wear it at the gym. Some people still wear it at the gym, whether I guess I don't know if they're vaxxed or not, but I don't wear
outside
it.
Is insane. Like, I get it. Listen, I'll be honest. I never wore it outside, ever. Like, you know, I did in New York City in the first few days, Kurtz, because they were like, oh, you're going to die, right? Like, was one of those deals. It was like, all right. And they wouldn't let you on anywhere without the mask. So I didn't even have a mask. I just took a stupid T-shirt and I wrapped like a bandana around my face. But, like, today I went into Subway tonight. And it said mask basically not required, but out of courtesy, it says. You know what I'm saying? So they're basically saying, listen, we can't force you to wear the mask, but don't be, you know, if you don't want to be, like, out of courtesy for the workers. Like, the workers wear a mask. So I don't wear it, but I keep it on me in case I go to a business or something. Like, look, when I went to the hockey game, bro, they made you wear a mask when I went to Montreal a few weeks ago. But I'm not, like, mask crazy or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
I do what the store says. You know, if they want you to wear a mask, fine, I'll wear it.
Care.
But they don't require. I haven't been in any place now since the mask mandate went down that's making you wear one. They all leave it up to you.
No. That's exactly it. Like, I don't have a beef if a store is like, listen. Like, I was shopping the other day, and the two stores.
Sometimes winning just comes down to attitude. Well, that and listening to us 16 hours a day.
Just saying. So keep it up.
We are Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sirius XM Channel 204.
Do you have a gambling problem?
No, I enjoy it. It's a hobby.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage, Sirius XM Channel 204. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. George Kurtz kicking with us right now. A lot of stuff I want to get to, Kurtz, so talk a little baseball. Cole Beasley, now the Buffalo Bills. So Kurtz, the Cowboy fan, formerly a Dallas Cowboy. And I remember when he left, he was pretty vocal on Twitter with Cowboy fans going back and forth. And they told him, good luck going to crap-ass Buffalo. And he said, oh, you'll see. And he proved them wrong, actually. Cole Beasley, he's been great with the Bills. They've had success. He fits into that program as that dump-off slot guy for them. But without being stated, you know, we see time and time again. I don't care if you're Tim Tebow. I don't care if you're Colin Kaepernick. I don't care if you're Cole Beasley, bro. They don't like distractions, George. Football teams do not like distractions. And I saw a tweet, like a woman sent a tweet to Cole Beasley, and she said, good for you. Like, you know, she's like, you know, whatever, lady on Twitter, like Patriot Mom, whatever type thing, right? Right, good for you. America is built on individual freedom and standing up for yourself, etc. And I don't have a problem with that. But football, being on a football team, George, there is no individual freedom and stuff. No, it's conformity. Right? That's the whole thing. No one person is bigger than the team. So you can't sort of be that rebel. That's the whole thing. Like, you know, we've seen, I remember even Chris Cluey of the Minnesota Vikings years ago, guys. He was very vocal about gay rights. And the Vikings told him, we don't have a problem with that, whatever you do. But during the season, you know, do you have to talk about this during every interview all the time? Just talk. And they said, talk about football during a football season, all right? And he got all mad. And they said, in the offseason, we don't care what you do. They said, but you, it's a distraction to the team. You're always talking about social issues. Let's just stick to football. And he listen, and it's his right to speak, but it's also his boss's right to tell him to shut up. I see both sides. But to me, Beasley is becoming a distraction of Buffalo. Because as I stated earlier, George, before you joined us, like, there's a lot of guys that aren't vaccinated in the NFL. They don't talk about it. Right, I don't think Josh Allen on the Bills is vaccinated. I can't speak for that 100%, but I don't think he is. Right, but he also doesn't go on Twitter and cry about the NFL and all the NFL cares about money and all they don't like. And he includes the Bills in the tweets, so it's like you're including your bosses and your crazy, like, you know, own personal views about COVID. Like, just shut up. And now he's getting into it with Michael Irvin, an argument you're not going to win, Cole. You're nowhere near the player Michael Irvin is, bro. What do you think about Cole Beasley? And you think the Bills should eventually just say, you know what, we got to get rid of you.
Boy, you can go in a million different directions on this. First off, yes, I'm vaccinated, but I do support those that don't want to get vaccinated. I think you're idiots, but if you don't want to, that's your choice. It's what this country is based on. Fine, do what you want to do.
But then live with the rules that they tell you to live by in the NFL, right? They're not forcing you to get vaccinated. They're saying if you don't get vaccinated, you got to stay in a different hotel. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's not your God-given right to be in the NFL, right, George?
Right. That's the thing. All the rules that were in place last year, you have to go through them again, which means you're pretty much going to be isolated from the team, except when you're on the practice field. That's pretty much it. Other than that, you're by yourself. I believe it was Adam Schefter today who was going through it on what they have to do, where, let's just say Cole Beasley or anybody who's unvaccinated, during the practice week, you have to report at 6 a.m., get your test, then you have to wait out in the parking lot until your test results come in, which is going to be a couple of hours. The other players come in around 8. So you got to get up 2 hours earlier than everybody else to get this done before you can come back in. You know, it's silly. If you don't want to get vaccinated, it's fine. But I'm also not publicizing that I'm not doing it. And Beasley's done that.
That's the problem.
It, right? Why would you do that?
Yeah. Because it's like he wants to be a hero or something. I swear to God, it's like he's trying to call their bluff. Right? And you know the Bills will have a big problem on their hands, even though the NFL union's useless. It's going to be a problem, right? You want to make, like, talk shows go crazy and stuff, you know, firing a guy for not getting vaccinated, because that's how they're going to spin it. But to me, like I said, I don't care what Cole Beasley does. Like you said, you want to live through this protocol, then live through the damn protocol, bro. Like, it's one or the other. Like, no one's asking you to do anything crazy. Nobody is forcing you to get vaccinated, Cole Beasley. Yet you complain about this daily, George. Like, you know, what are we talking about now with the Bills every day? It's never Bills football. It's always Cole Beasley.
Well, it's the Tim Tebow effect, right? This is why Tim Tebow always had a hard time getting a job, because no one was talking about football. They were talking about Tim Tebow and his religious affiliations and what's going on there. And it's something's going to be going on here. It's not like it's baseball where you have a game every day, so it's always the game to talk about. Football is one game a week. Okay, the day after, you talk about yesterday's game. Other than that, you're looking for stories here, and they're going to ask Beasley every chance he gets. What's going on with the vaccinations? How are you handling it? What's going on? I can see where it would drive a team nuts that no one's talking football. They're talking about this over and over again. And also, if I'm Beasley, they're going to talk to you. And Gabe Morenci's on my team. Now they're going to talk to you. Gabe, what do you feel about Cole not getting your vaccine?
Oh, God. Exactly.
Then you have to answer the questions. And you're like, what the hell? You don't want to answer these questions about somebody else. But that's the problem.
If I'm Cole Beasley, I'm looking and I'm saying, you know what? They just brought in Emmanuel Sanders. Gabriel Davis is pretty good. And there's some other guys that are pretty good, too, up and coming on the Bills. They got some young wide receivers that are making waves right now. You know, and the thing is, too, Sean McDermott is very pro-vaccination. So it's like you're sort of like just, you know, for lack of a better term, you're pissing on your head coach all the time with this, right? You know, I don't know. It's just that's why I look at it. You know, and you know, you're either a teammate or you're not. It's one of those deals. Like, you know what? You don't even have to like it. Whatever. Nothing bad's going to happen. You get the vaccination, fine. It's done. It's over with. And there it is. Right? And you get all your life, and you don't have to wait in the parking lot every day. I'll tell you what, though. The NFL, I won't. It is true. George, they've definitely sent the message, right? The NFL making these rules. They're like, oh, don't get vaccinated, but we're going to make your life a living hell if you don't. Let's be real.
Right. They're going to try and force you without forcing you.
Yeah.
That's really what they're trying to do. No, we're not forcing you. You can do whatever you want. But if you don't get it, you can't do this, 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 this. And it'll be a list of like 20 pages long of what you can't do.
Well, it is what it is. It is what it is. You're their team guy. So, listen, we had Mike Bluna. And so Michael Irvin, the great Michael Irvin, we should add. Michael Irvin said today about Cole Beasley that he thinks that guys that are fighting this like that, guys that won't get vaccinated in the NFL don't want to win. He said they don't care about winning. If you don't get vaccinated, you don't care about winning. And then Cole Beasley went off on a big tirade to Michael Irvin. Not calling Irvin out about, but it's my body and it doesn't mean I don't want to win because of this and that. And there's Michael Irvin saying it. Irvin said, you know what? He'd take the needle to do it. You know what I mean? I believe him, too. You know, like, it's all for one, one for all, George, right? In team sports. They're, like, if you want to be a hero, you be a tennis player, a boxer, George, or in the UFC. Yeah. You don't have to worry about what your teammates say. You know what I'm saying, George? You're part of a team, bro. And you're not even the star on the team, Cole, so better chill out, you know?
The funny thing about this is that Irvin was really knocking the Cowboys, by the way, because the Cowboys are only at about 75%, 85%.
Yeah, so he was talking about them, basically, right? Yeah.
Right, he was trying to knock them because that's what he's criticizing. They don't want to win a championship with both players because they're not taking it seriously. I think what they're all comparing it to is sort of what happened with the Yankees, right? Judge got it, then six other guys got it. So how can you say you want to win a championship if you don't get vaccinated? Because it could happen to any football team where now, hey, guy, you might miss 2 weeks. A whole bunch of players might miss 2 weeks. You're going to go 0-2. You're going to lose two football games. But Irvin was talking about the Cowboys, and Beasley sort of inserted himself into this conversation again. Because, like I said, Irvin was criticizing Dallas because now they're going to Oxnard, but they're not vaccinated. And how can they be taking a championship seriously if they won't get up to the vaccination threshold?
Yeah. And listen, it's a new world that we live in right now, but I won't be too happy. Like, basically, if you were an owner and a player doesn't want to get vaccinated and then he misses time due to COVID, do you want to pay him, George? When it was like,
no,
basically, dude, you know, like, hey, you could have avoided this. Like, if you're vaccinated, I'll pay you, but you avoided this, now you're out, and you want me to pay you like $280,000 a week for this, and you're out, and you're on Twitter bitching about this every day, you're complaining? I wouldn't sit well with me if I was Pegula, bro.
Oh, I'd be annoyed. Think about it. Bring the Yankees up again. Judge has it. We don't know if Judge is vaccinated or not. You know, and that's a good thing, right? Because now we can't get on him. Maybe he is vaccinated, got unlucky, but maybe he's not. You know, and it's his own fault. If this were to happen to Beasley, think about it. If, just for giggles here, you know, week three, Beasley has COVID. It's sort of three other Bills. We know Beasley's not vaccinated, so all the blame's going to go to him. Oh, now you got the rest of the Bills sick, and now
he better not sabotage our season. He better not sabotage. That's a good point. As you stated, he's just a distraction. So I spoke to Mike Blewett the other night, and Mike Blewett was part of a fantasy football draft, and he said that Cole Beasley had fallen in his draft. It was the fishbowl draft. He said that Beasley fell in that league. How do you feel about Cole Beasley fantasy-wise now? Are you saying, you know what? I'm not even going to touch this guy. Are you just going to avoid him right now?
Well, even in the best of circumstances, he's no better than a wide receiver three in fantasy. So he'll fall out of that because there's a chance Buffalo could release him. You already went through the depth chart there. They don't need him. He is making about $7 million a year. So they could move on from that if they want to. I don't think they will, but they could here. But he goes into flex category now, which would be a wide receiver four reserve type guy.
Yeah,
upside, though. But with some upside. So, no, I don't ignore him, Gabe, but he definitely moves down.
You were never in love with them. You were never in love with them.
Dallas didn't know how to use them. They never used them right.
That is correct. Buffalo did figure it out. And it's the thing. Like, he's a good wide receiver. He fits the system. So, like, don't screw it up. Just shut up. Like I said, I don't even care about your views. Stop putting the Bills, tagging the Bills in this stuff. And don't rip the NFL like you're doing now, too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey, wait a second. What are you doing? You're not betting. You know he's not supposed to bet.
Come on, Jerry. It's a lock.
Kramer, you've had this thing under control for almost 3 years now. Don't start again.
But it's a lock.
No.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am RNC. Kicking it with George Kurtz. So, George, I tweeted the picture out of Zeke Elliott. I'm sure you saw him and his new body right now. What do you think about that from a guy who is criticized for being out of shape in the past? Did he go too far right now? Does he look like he's going to get injured because he's just all muscle and, like, he's going to tear something? But you got to like the commitment. What'd you think of Zeke Elliott's new physique?
Well, yeah, I think you said it. You have to like the commitment because he has been knocked being out of shape in past years. I also wonder this, and this is my always – this is the year where if he doesn't have a good year, the Cowboys can bump him out. You know, they won't get crushed by the cap hit. So I wonder if that's it, too, where he knows he's got to take it seriously or he's not going to have a job anymore. They couldn't do it the last season. The cap hit would have been really, really big. This year, they could survive it if they wanted to move on. So that's always in the back of my head, too. Oh, what a coincidence. Now you're in shape.
Yeah, I said the same thing, George. I said the same thing. All right, so listen, I want to get into some NHL talk tonight as the Seattle Kraken will announce who they selected in the expansion draft on Wednesday, and they have quite the roll call of celebrities coming out. Sean Kemp, Marshawn Lynch, Gary Payton, all Seattle sports greats going to be announcing the players. So let's start off with what a lot of people in Montreal and the NHL are talking about right now. Carey Price left unprotected. Carey Price left unprotected. He's 33 years old. His cap hit is $10.5 million a year. Oh, yeah, for the next 5 years. So, and he's guaranteed this money. So, you've got to pay this guy, what's that work out to? $52.5 million. So, Seattle will be taking off $52.5 million for a 33-year-old, although he did look great. And this is where it gets interesting, Kurtz. He had a no-movement clause. Like, he was untouchable. So, he had to waive it and agree to do this, and he did. But then they drop, oh, yeah, but he's not even going to play for 5 months. He needs surgery on his hip. So I don't know what kind of games they're playing, if they're convinced that Seattle won't do this, and it's a lot of money for a 33-year-old. I get it, but it's a dangerous game they're playing, and we should note, Carey Price is from B.C., which is right next to the state of Washington. His wife is from Washington. And, oh, yeah, he played for the Tri-City Americans, George, in the state of Washington, his junior hockey. So he likes the Pacific Northwest. And I actually, somebody sent me a video. Shout out to Jason Gold for unearthing the video in 2018, in which Carey Price was very enthusiastic about a team going to Seattle. And he even said, for whatever reason, to someone, "See you in Seattle," in 2018 to someone after the interview, which was kind of interesting. What do you think? Do you think Seattle's going to do this and do like a Marc-Andre Fleury thing? Or do you think it's too much money?
I think this is really is so, so intriguing what's going to happen here. Because Carey Price is probably the best player available, right? He's a future Hall of Famer. I don't know if the money bothers me if I'm Seattle. You're an expansion draft. You can sign other or draft other cheaper players to make up for it. What it comes down to me is two things. One, when's he going to play? How much truth is coming out of Montreal? Probably very little. I'm half truths. How much he's got surgery on his hip? Now we heard surgery on his knee. Both. He's going to be out 5 months, 5 years. He needs a brain transplant. What's going on? So you got to get through that. And then the second part. Does he want to play here? Or if we draft him, is he going to mope? You sort of nixed that. Weiss from there, he may be happy to go there. I got to think junior hockey hard there. About this. Right. I think the wife being there might be even more important, that she wants to go back.
He might think, too. He's been in Montreal a long time. We just made the cap. Weber's done. Stahl and Perry, some old dudes. Yes, the Canadians have some good young talent, right? Cole Caulfield's a little stud. Nick Suzuki's amazing. Romanoff, the defenseman, looks pretty good. George, the big Russian kid. They've got some young pieces, but Carey Price might think, you know what? We came as close as I'm going to come to a Cup of Montreal. Maybe I want a new experience with this team.
Yeah, I mean, very well. But let's say they're thinking about it. They're not worried about Price playing there, that he will play there. Next thing is, well, do we want to take him and trade him with somebody else? They could do that as well. They think they'll get more value by trading him to Washington, just for giggles here, that they'd be interested. And it also comes down to, okay, if we don't take Price, is there anybody else on Montreal's unprotected list that we can grab? I think there is. Montreal fell out of favor with Tatar. They didn't play him during the playoffs.
Jonathan Drouin.
Jonathan Drouin would be the other guy. I would be more than happy because you could take other goaltenders. I love Dreiger from Florida.
Well, they did. So that's the thing. They did. And what? Dreiger's making 3.8. So I don't think they're going to take on.
I like Kacken in Minnesota, too.
Yeah.
Dreiger and
they're not
going to
pull on, George. Yeah, they're not going to. If you just didn't give some guy 3.8, you're going to bring in another guy at 10.5 and be on the hook for 15 a year at the goalie position? I don't think it's going to happen.
You can't do that. You can't do that in today's NHL. I would take Dreiger. Kacken would be my other goalie from Minnesota, and I'm taking Tatar or Drouin. I'm probably going to take Tatar. I'm a Tatar guy. I like him. That's probably what I'm doing. It avoids the headache of Price, unless I find out through some sort of back channels that Price, he can't wait to come to Seattle. That might change my mind.
So this is what's very interesting. So what do you think of Montreal's move before we move on? What do you think of Montreal doing this? Calculated gamble? Do you like the move from Montreal doing this? What do you think of Montreal? Are they crazy? Dude, they lost Patrick Roy. Dude, they just finally, there's so much passion for the team, George. They just made the finals. Carey Price, the most popular guy on the team.
I think they're telling the truth here because I don't think you do this unless Price is going to have surgery and is going to miss time, because that's why you want to protect Jake Allen. You know you're going to need him to start a few months, maybe even the rest of the calendar year. So I think they are telling the truth there. I think that sort of gives it away. But to say you have a pair of Quiñones, yeah. I don't think I could have done this. I don't think I could. You need a goaltender in the NHL. It's like letting a
if I was ownership group
miss a quarter of the season.
Yeah, if I was the ownership, Molson's, like the beer and Coors, Molson Coors, like I'd be like, no, we're not doing this, guys. I don't care about your little hockey reasons and stuff. I'd be like, I'm not screwing around with this. We got goodwill back in the city. We lost Patrick Roy before. Didn't end well. We're not reliving this. We can't do this again. But the Canadians do these things again and again and again and again. It's like, I don't know. Like I said, it's a dangerous game if they're playing right now. I think they know what they're doing, though. So what about Gabriel Landeskog? So Landeskog, Seattle can deal with this guy. They've got exclusive rights to deal with him right now. Is it almost an automatic? He's only 28 years old, bro. He's been in the league a long time, but he's only 28 years old. If you're the Kraken, to me, you have to sign this guy. You make this kid the centerpiece, right?
I'd probably go up to more of a top defenseman first before I worry about offense. There's offense you can grab. You can find some goal, but the defenseman out there, I mean, Hamilton's there. I probably want to go out and sign him first. Landeskog, I'm certainly talking to him. I want to see if he's looking to break the bank. I'm probably not going to do that. I do think he's somewhat of a part of, he needs guys around him. He's not a guy who's going to make goals by himself. He needs playmakers, and I don't think they're going to have that many guys around him to do that. I like him, but I'm going after defense first if I'm going to go the free agent route in the draft.
Now, you need someone to sell jerseys and score goals. I like him better than Tarasenko.
I think I do as well. It's the three surgeries. And you talk, I no one knows what Tarasenko is going to get. But we are hearing, one thing we're hearing about Tarasenko in Seattle is that even if they do take him and they are expected to take him, he's not going to stay there. That is, I guess Seattle wouldn't be his final destination. He would be moving on elsewhere in a trade.
I will tell you, Kurtz, I believe you'll see Landeskog will be with Seattle. I believe they're going to sign him. I think they'll give him the money. What about with the Islanders? They Jordan Eberle is unprotected. Jordan Eberle makes $5.5 million a year. Could be attractive to them. There's a couple other players actually. Cal Foote, the defenseman's 22 years old. He's young. But I tell you what, George, pretty decent player here. Watching him play in the playoffs here is Yanni Gourde, Tampa Bay Lightning. Yanni Gourde, same thing, 29 years old. He makes $5 million a year. He's under contract for 4 years, so it's $20 million, but that's manageable in today's NHL. So what about Jordan Eberle? Do you think Seattle take him?
Well, I think the Islanders are they're trying to tempt him. I think this is what the Islanders are doing here because I think they would like to see Seattle take Eberle or Bailey. They don't really care which one. They're both left exposed. I think the Islanders sort of showed their cards when they protected Martin and Clutterbuck. They'll let you know that Cizikas is all but signed. All right, because they're not doing that unless Cizikas is coming back and staying on that fourth line, the energy line. I think they want Seattle to take Eberle or Bailey, and then they want to go after Palmieri to re-sign him, who sort of replaces those guys. I think Lou thinks they're a better fit anyway, and allows them to free up to do some other moves. Remember, the Islanders lost Leddy, too, so the Islanders are going to need to sign a defenseman. I don't think it'll be Suter. I think it'll be more the Alec Martinez type. But if I'm Seattle, I'm not taking on the Eberle contract or Bailey. They have 3 years up to 5.5. They're not worth it. I would much rather sign Landeskog for whatever, if $8 million a year, and take maybe an Otto Kuvula from the Islanders, a young center. You need depth down the middle here. I would not take Eberle or Bailey. I don't think they're worth the money. Not at 3 years each. No, thank you.
There are some young defensemen available. And you talked about you're going to need – I get it. But I would go young. So you got Vince Dunn, St. Louis Blues. He's 24 years old. He could be very intriguing. Cal Foote, a player, didn't play all that much. But another player that's only young. He's 22 years old. He's got a lot of upside as well. But I think Vince Dunn is someone that could be interesting for the Seattle Kraken. But I do believe they'll go with Landeskog. I like Yanni Gourde as well. He's a gritty player. So what about Van Riemsdyk? 32 years old, $7 million a year. Philadelphia Flyers. Do you think they bite on him?
I do. I think it's either from Philadelphia, the JVR, or Gossesbear, one of those two. I think I like JVR more because, A, he can score goals. We know that. And also, hey, if it doesn't work out, you can flip him at the trade deadline.
$7 million is not that much either. In today's league,
They can afford a couple of cap hits. They can afford that, But I'll tell you, you could if it doesn't work out for you, or you're out of the playoff race. Which, by the way, if they want to be a playoff team, they'll be a playoff team. They can draft a playoff team pretty easily with everybody that's available out there, and especially in that division. But that being said, like I said, you could flip them at the deadline if you want to. You mentioned Yanni Gourde, Tampa Bay.
He's good.
You got guys up the wazoo you can draft from Tampa Bay. How about Killorn? How about Pilat? I mean, these guys are all available. I'd like all three of them. Guys up the wazoo, but I think Yanni Gourde would be my number one choice because of the contract and the age. He's younger than the other two.
Yeah, exactly. It's about age. So that's the thing, George. So do you think – listen, Vegas shocked the world, right? Vegas have been like – Vegas are the most successful expansion franchise in the history of sports. With the exception of actually we can go back to like the early days of the St. Louis Blues and Bobby Orr. When Bobby Orr scored the famous goal flying through the air, the Blues were young with Scotty Bowman. There's been a few exceptions, George, but, the Milwaukee Bucks, I was going to say, won in 1971. They only came into the league in 68. They had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor. But with exceptions, you know what I'm saying? So Vegas have been so great. Can Seattle match? Do you think Seattle are competitors? Here's the thing. In the old days, guys, the expansion... Man, you can protect everybody. You can protect everybody. Like, the Ottawa Senators sucked for years. Like, they didn't let them get good. Vegas, they almost were too nice to. And as you stated, Seattle have a chance to draft some good players here. More with Kurtz on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I reading this correctly in our chat? Do I see you guys talking about the Philadelphia Eagles? And if you like the Eagles this year, you guys nuts? They're the worst team in the division. George, what do you think? I think the Eagles are the worst team in the division. I think they're worse. I think the Giants are better than they are. Washington are better than they are. And Dallas, we'll see about Dallas. Dallas are all about health, but I don't see how anyone can like Philadelphia this year.
Now that you're an Eagles fan, no, the Eagles, they should be the worst team. And listen, winning this year is not even important to them. They got three number ones next year. They got to find out, is the quarterback the quarterback? If not, they'll have to draft one next year. That's all this season's about. And where do they trade Ertz to? I think he's going to Buffalo, Gabe.
Who, Jalen Hurts?
Zach Ertz.
Oh, Zach Ertz? I was like, it's Hurts. Ertz and Hurts. That kind of sounds the same. I was like, Zach Ertz. Jalen Hurts. What a Buffalo. We got Mitch Trubisky as a backup, baby. Buffalo. Not bad. You know what I mean? I don't have a problem. 1 year deal. I think he's making like $2.4 million. But yeah, so Zach Ertz, the tight end. That's been the rumor, hasn't it, Kurtz, right? The Bills and Zach Ertz, that's almost been like a daily thing, hasn't it been? That they want him, number one, and number two, he wants to go there.
Makes sense. It makes sense. It's a good fit all around here. Philadelphia has to move him eventually. They can wait to a trade deadline, but they have to move him eventually. And I imagine Philadelphia's going to wait for to see if a team suffers an injury. You know, if, I don't know, Kelsey goes down, Waller, someone like that, where they can maybe get more out of it. But eventually he has to go.
I just say, you know, you got the, listen, guys, it's nothing against the Eagles, but you got a new coach, you got a young quarterback. It's kind of a thin roster. There's some pieces, but
there's no dominant team. I get where they're going with this.
No, it's true. The division, this division has to be better than last year. I mean, last year was a train wreck.
Can't be worse.
No, I think Washington's offense is going to be better. I think they're going to be better this year.
I think
how can they not be?
The Cowboy team is going to be better. Same thing. I mean, it can't be worse than it was last year. The Giants, by the way, they may be the best overall team in the division.
They got to prove it. On paper, they have the most. Yeah, they have a lot of talent on paper. So do the Cowboys. But the Giants, I'm bullish on the Giants, but they got to prove it. Thanks, George.
Anytime.